Keith, I want to start out with these mega cap earnings. We were talking over the break here, and you got some thoughts on Apple, and there's also an inflation tie-in here as well.
Well, there is, you know, and people look at a company like Apple and they're saying, oh my goodness, all these issues cost the company $6 billion. They've lost track of the fact that top line, you're talking about a record quarter, $83 billion. That's $922 million every 24 hours worth of Apple products sold. So if you think about inflation, that's what's really on your mind. People are giving up food, they're changing the way they travel, they're changing what they buy. But I haven't heard one person yet talk about giving up their Apple or even their Droid. So this tells you what's here to stay and what's truly transitory, because the Fed sure doesn't know.
The valuations in tech are so high at the moment, right? So the pandemic pump is waning, so to speak. So do people stay in tech at this point in time, or do they start to hedge? And where do they hedge, if so?
You know, I think that's a very good question, but I would put it to you like this, and very respectfully. If you're playing for the next 24 hours, okay, valuations are high. But if you're playing for the next 5 years, 10 years, like I am, these companies have not even begun to hit their stride. Apple's medical pivot alone is 3 to 4 times the size of the current global iPhone market. So you're talking about valuation that the market doesn't yet understand, even though they're already in nosebleed territory. So I look at these pullbacks as a chance to buy. I have a long-term vision. I'm very content with valuations the way they are.
I have to agree there. I think we're just at the beginning of a very long secular disruption cycle. But you mentioned the Fed. So I want to circle back to the Fed and talk about next week's meeting. We are expecting the announcement of the taper. We saw some bond market volatility this week. Maybe some people, market participants, reading a little bit too much into what's going on. But what's your take on what the Fed is going to do and the market reaction that we might expect?
Well, you know, it's kind of tough because the Fed is really between a rock and a hard place. They have already caused the next 3 or 4 crises, as far as I'm concerned. They stayed in the game too long, lets rates stay where they are. The illusion of control is the only thing they've got left, the only card they can play. It's like what they call a Keynesian beauty contest. They're not rating the contestants on how he or she looks. What they're doing is rating the contestants on how they think the other judges are going to look, but they never actually look at the contestants themselves. So to me, it's thread the needle time. It's do or die time. The markets are trying to price us in, but frankly, I don't think they know what's going on. So I'm going to keep my eye on the CEOs. I'm going to keep my eye on the technology. I'm going to keep my eye on the companies making products the rest of us can't live without. And if the Fed deals us a bad hand, I'm going to look at that with an optimistic lens, not a pessimistic one.
The companies are already dealing with so much pressure, right? We see the cost of wages going up. Everything is costing more to produce for them. Weigh in, if you will, on this 15% corporate tax that the Biden administration is proposing in its latest watered-down plan. Janet Yellen says, you know, the things in that plan are anti-inflationary. What's your opinion on all of it?
Well, I'm chuckling because I'm not sure that she's ever attended the same economics class I have, because that's not how reality works. And so if you've got to make a payroll, you've got to sell a product, you've got to employ workers, you want to do things as well as you can for as little cost as you can. You want to share the pie. You want to foster creativity, innovation. I cannot possibly imagine how they rationally expect the rest of us to believe that argument. I really can't. It's preposterous. It's asinine. And the minimum corporate tax is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because the world is going to change. Money is going to flow to where it's treated best. There are going to be companies and countries that do not play along, no matter what policies get put in effect.
Keith, you're on a roll here, so I want to keep up the pace. I'm going to let you talk about Facebook. Please go.
Oh, my goodness. I've had too much coffee today. Let me tell you. So here's the thing with Facebook, right? Mark Zuckerberg is undeniably brilliant. However, he is also predatory, and I have to believe acutely conscious of the pressure that is mounting against that company. This rebranding is not a stroke of brilliance like a lot of people are trying to portray. To me, if you look at it, it seems like a great exercise in distraction theory. They want to take the heat off the inquiry from the whistleblower, from the leaked documents, from the fact that they are not in control of hate speech. So it's I think, a company that is at serious risk of a management purge. I personally won't touch it. I think it's going to fall significantly. And of course, full caveat, I don't have a like button, so I might be completely wrong.
All right. And then tell me also, where do you think the S&P goes from here? Because you definitely are a bull. Where do you see it finishing up at the end of the year?
Well, I'm not a bull just to be a bull. I'm a bull because I believe in the future and I believe in optimism and I believe in looking forward. I think 46.75 is a target I set last January. I think we're going to take that out. We obviously have to get through the Fed first. But 2022, I think, believe it or not, is the real takeoff, because that's when things calm down. Valuations, to your point earlier, become more realistic. And that's when a lot of money still has to play catch up.